We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
They played a really good game last time that we played against them in their building, too. So, no surprise there. The game was not, there was no shockers out there. You know, I thought that we had a real good start. You know, even with that, we weren't generating a ton. We got a couple chances, but, you know, I think that there was a couple bounces, a couple of tough plays along the way, and I thought that we did enough good things to maybe win, but not enough good things to make certain that we won.
Mike Yo, talking about, I can't believe this team actually loses games. They're not supposed to lose games.
Doesn't make sense.
Not now. Well, you know what, though? They're sitting right now in the first wild card spot. They overtook Winnipeg by a point, so that's not too shabby. You all excited?
Yeah, Chicago's next. For five points back on him, and that's going to be rough. But
let's not get cocky. 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. That is the number to call. You know what? We want to hear from you, because we weren't here for 2 days last week because we had the state hockey tournament. And congratulations to Lakeville North. Yep. That was, that going through any season undefeated for anyone or any team is a terrific accomplishment. They have one hell of a team. So congratulations, Sam. And Duluth East.
They made an impressive run.
Duluth East, they had to have either a losing record or at 500 when they started the hockey playoffs, because they came in with 14 wins.
Mm-hmm.
So they have sectionals. They had to be under 500 or right at, right? Yeah. How many games do you have to win to win your sectional? Three or four, right?
Yeah.
I think it's got to be close to four. If you know, 651-989-9105, set us straight on that one. And congratulations to the Class A winner, EGF. Right? What does that stand for?
East Grand Forks.
That's what it is. I was trying to... It completely went out my mind on that one. And how about that Hermantown team? They have a coach, nice guy. He's been bitching for years that he would lose to St. Thomas Academy in the championship usually, and then talk about him being the best Class A public school team there is. Well, this year he got to play another public school team, EGF, East Grand Forks, and he lost again. I think that's 6 years in a row they've been in the championship game for Class A to win. Hey, if you're from Lakeville North or EGF or know people there and you want to gloat, here's your opportunity. 651 989-9105. What the heck is happening to my chair? And superstar Mike Morris, who, he sits in the chair next to me when he does his show with Ben Holson. Somebody keeps ripping off one of the arms. There's an arm missing from this thing.
There's an arm missing from that one. Tucked behind this.
I've got my right arm. This one has its left arm. Are they collecting arms? Is there like some place you can sell these chairs' arms?
Chair arms
online?
Are a hot commodity.
Chair
in the
arms
black
are
market.
Us. It's probably what it is. Because it's just weird, because I went to like put my arm on an arm and there's no arm, if you know what I'm saying. Now, speaking of know what I'm saying, how about your Vikings trying to shore things up a bit? They've got in, and nothing could become official until tomorrow, which is when, if there's going to be a frenzy or flurry of activity, some people may think it'll be tomorrow, but a lot of teams have already made moves with players, and it's just a matter of, it doesn't become official until tomorrow, which technically tomorrow is when the new league year begins. Not leap year, league year. And the new league year for the NFL is tomorrow. And the Vikings they've re-signed Tom Johnson. He's a backup defensive tackle. Was second on the team with 6.5 sacks. Also re-signed Colin Loeffler. Superstar Colin Loeffler. Because, he's actually been doing that longer than superstar Mike Morris did. Not with the same distinction, though. But I talked to Colin today, or communicated with him. He's going to join us tomorrow. He, unfortunately, his grandmother passed away, so he's at her funeral today. I'm very sorry to hear about that. And unfortunately, that's often what life is. It's you hear great news, and then you hear bad news. I'm sure we both. It keeps things balanced a bit. But it's good that both those guys are done, and now the big news, too, is with them that they are going after Mike Iopati, an all-pro guard, take Charlie Johnson's place at left guard from the San Francisco 49ers. He'll probably cost them about $8 million a year.
And they're also looking at Clint Bowling, who's going to be a cheaper option from Cincinnati, so Zimmer knows him. He's been there for 4 years, and Chris Thomason said they're making a push to get him.
Well, actually, we're going to be talking to Chris Thomason in a bit. He's going to join us and give us the latest on the Vikings. And it wouldn't surprise me. I would almost think that last year, Mike Zimmer had either a gentleman's agreement or he just didn't want to pounce on available Bengals. I think we'll see him pouncing this year. If there's guys he liked, he's going to try to get them here.
Yeah, he wants some of his guys.
Yeah, he does. I mean, and because it makes it easier when you have guys that have worked with you before to help. And a lot of these players that have been with the Vikings, they're learning what his system is and what he wants done, but it would make it even easier with guys that have worked with him before. So that's a huge advantage for him and, frankly, for the organization to get something like that done. But it should be an exciting time for your Vikings, because there's going to be, I think I saw the number, though, 6 or 7 of the top 10 free agents have resigned already. Iopati is number 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he could be the top free agent left. And Ndamukong Suh is going to sign with Miami.
For $114 million?
He's a hell of a player.
Would you ever spend that much money on a defensive tackle?
That is defensive end money.
Yeah.
That's what but with the number of teams that have had interest in him, that's the kind of money it's going to take to bring someone in of Ndamukong Suh talent. So, I get it. And I think you know, everyone gets it. He is, the thing that is overshadowed sometimes is how crazy he is on the field and how dirty he is. But he's still one of the best, if not the best defensive tackles. From the money, based on the money, he's certainly the best. Mm-hmm. But if you're building a team, what defensive tackle would you rather start with? I'd start with him.
If money's not an option, then totally.
But, well, yeah. But I mean, you got to like a little bit that he's beyond edgy.
Heard one guy mention that the Miami Dolphins are bringing in one guy at $114 million, and that's about the payroll of the Miami Marlins.
Well, that's not. I'm shocked the Marlins have a payroll that high.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it's it's less than that too. They're known for. Yeah, they're known for winning a World Series and dismantling their team.
Yep.
They've done it twice already. Now, the teams that are making the splashes so far, and there'll be others tomorrow that you hear about. Some things we haven't heard everything, but the Dolphins with Ndamukong Suh, that's a big one. Cornerback Byron Maxwell, he's going to the Philadelphia Eagles. And one of the things that, one of the big talks is for Miami, they really shore up their defense with Suh.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to do something about their offense. And Ryan Tannehill, he's got Jarvis Landry, who is going to be a second-year player, good receiver. Mike Wallace, it looks like he's going to be gone in free agency. So one of the names that's come up is, and this is one of your Viking fan, you don't want to see this. Devontae Parker is the wide receiver from Louisville who used to catch passes from Teddy Bridgewater. He's a guy that I don't think it's a push at 11 for him.
No. We've seen the receivers all perform very impressively at the combine, and I think they're doing fine on their pro days too. So seeing Parker, Cooper, and White gone either just before 11 or just after.
I don't think all three will be gone by 11. I do think that the first two will be gone.
Yeah, two should be gone.
Cooper will be gone and White will be gone, but I don't think Parker's going to be gone. I think he'll be sitting there at 11, but I still think Zimmer's kind of guy. He loves that Shaq Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a hybrid. He can play linebacker or he can play safety. Probably settle in at safety, but he likes guys that have versatility, and he's a guy that wants to build with defense.
Yeah.
And probably figures that's the good thing and the bad thing when you're looking at what the Vikings' options and opportunities are going to be. Good thing, there are a lot of receivers. Bad thing is it means they don't go after, you know, Parker if he's sitting there at 11. They'll wait until the second round or even third round to try to get a receiver. Because I'm sure when they step back, they look at Charles Johnson. They think they're in pretty good shape there,
mm-hmm.
Right? They've got Jarius Wright. He's a third receiver. They've got Greg Jennings. And if they could ever get through to our guy number 84.
CP. I mean,
what?
You know? CP.
Yeah, Cordero
Patterson.
Well, they
haven't given up on him.
Well, they haven't, but he needs to start putting the work in the off season because he doesn't seem to want to learn. He certainly didn't last year. He was like resting on the laurels of a great rookie season, but it was a great rookie season as a returner, not really as a receiver. And it's got to frustrate the hell out of them.
Yeah.
You know, to have this guy that you see all this, the possibilities and the potential and
all that athleticism and no work ethic.
Well, yeah, and I'm not saying he pissed it away, but it looks like he could. In another year, he certainly could if he repeats what he did last year.
Well, it sounded like at his end of year exit meeting with Zimmer, he asked Coach Zimmer, "What can I do? What do I need to do this offseason to get back?" So
he's at least saying the right things.
Yeah.
Because things weren't looking good after the first couple of weeks. Well, first week, he did have a good first week.
Yeah.
You know, he scored a touchdown on a run. But after a couple of weeks, it just wasn't going well for him. Now, I'm looking at one of these other mock drafts. And this one is a CBS one. And it's going to change every day and every week. It's going to change. He's got the Vikings taking LSU offensive lineman La'el Collins. It's like, you know, like Superman's dad, Jor-El, mm-hmm. with the little hyphen. This is La-el Collins. And he started left tackle for LSU, projects best at guard, where he can be a quick upgrade over, well, they're going to get the upgrade if they get Iopati. So that would throw that one out of the mix. But you can never have too many good offensive linemen. But unless you know a guy's going to be a surefire starter from the get-go, don't get an offensive lineman with the 11th pick. Get somebody in here who can be an impact player immediately.
I think Brandon Scherff's the only one that would be a step-in-and-do-it-right-away guy for offensive linemen, and he might be available at 11.
Right now, and this one, I've seen him go early in a lot of them. This draft has him going fifth to the Redskins, and he's from, the kid from Iowa. And they need, obviously, Jay Gruden, he was the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati. They were used to, they have monster lines. And I think he realizes they need something like that. They're going to be, you know what, I'm taking a quick look at this list because I want to see how many, okay, they got Kevin White going to Oakland at 4. And then, Amari Cooper going 10 to the Rams. And how far down do they have? Devontae Parker they have going to the Dolphins at 14. You know what the problem is with a lot of these mock drafts, though? Guys put players where they want to see them go,
mm-hmm.
not where they actually will go. Because usually, I love every draft, Mel Kiper is pulling his well-coiffed hair out because somebody in the first 3 or 4 picks didn't do what he wanted, completely throws off his draft board.
Yeah.
And he goes nuts about it.
It seems to happen more and more. Like, he's getting worse at his job or something.
Yeah, but his hair is always nice. It's always bulletproof.
He does have that going for him.
He's got to go through a bunch of that. What's that Clairol? Is it Clairol? What's the stuff that my mother used back when I was a kid? The hair was like a bullet. You couldn't imprint it. It was probably better. You know, they now have these armor piercing bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing would get through that stuff because of whatever it was. I think it was some sort of a Clairol. These are all things that mean nothing to you. You ever put anything in that mop of yours?
No.
You just do the way I do. You just go with your natural grease.
Yeah, I'm a natural kind of guy.
That's what I am, too. Natural grease. If I don't wash this, now at least every 24 hours, it's not pretty. It's not pretty if you look at my pillow. It's not pretty if you look at it as is. You know what? Let's take a bit of a break. Take a little break. We have a big, nice big show for you. You're going to come back. You know what? Today's Monday, and we always do D-Bag of the Day. But today, for two people, we are going to actually make this an anti-D-bag of the day. Two guys did something, or a few guys did something recently over the weekend, and the other one was late last week when we weren't here, that is just wonderful, and we want to take note of that. One of them's Captain America, and the other one, as far as anyone's concerned for what he did, is another version of Captain America, Duncan Keith. From the Chicago Blackhawks. These guys did some terrific things. We're going to tell you what they were when we return.
The Bob Sansevier Show. Only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
D-bag, need a bop bop. D-bag, need a bop bop.
Anti. 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 D-bag of the day today. And by the way, I want to... My chair, as it turns out, I was bitching about it in the last... My chair was not damaged. One of the D-bags from yesterday, from probably Tom Schreier, who we'll be talking to in a little bit, they switched chairs on me, and then I found mine. Yeah, you, pal, you won't be laughing when I get done with you. Anywho, we got a couple of anti-D-bag of the day candidates. This is a great... story. Duncan Keith plays for the Chicago Blackhawks. He is involved in a program they have, What's Your Goal? Now, people, it's a social media campaign, and you could let the Chicago Blackhawks know something you'd like to have done if it's a goal for you. Now, there's a woman who has a five-year-old daughter. The daughter's name is Cammie Babiarz. Cammie was born with Rett syndrome, and what that means is she could not communicate verbally and cannot walk. The way she communicates with people is with something called a Tobi, and it has sensors on it that read her eyes. If she fixates on like a square on her little computer screen with an image on it, it links to other squares so she can add to her thoughts. And here's an example that was used in one of the stories. If she stares at food, that'll link to 32 other options for food and drink. She'll stare at another one, and then more options appear. So her mom communicated with her about this program and said, is there someone from the Blackhawks you'd like to meet? So the roster came up, and Duncan Keith is the one she wanted to meet. Not only did Duncan Keith meet her, he shows up with a pair of skates. Now, she can't walk, but their parents have a harness that they could put on her, and they could walk with her so she can get the sort of the feeling of that she's actually walking. Because, you know, like a harness is strapped. There's a harness that the women use sometimes to hold their kids, like the mm-hmm. pouch. This one actually goes so they can walk with them and walk between their legs. He put the skates on her, gave her, because she has hand-eye coordination, you know, gave her the stick. And they had a goaltender, and he took her down the ice and let her score against one of the Chicago Blackhawks goaltenders. And you don't have to have somebody say how much fun it is. Just look at her face and her smile. And it was all Duncan Keith had to do was just say, hey, how you doing, and blow her off. He didn't. He went way above and beyond, gave this kid and this family, you know, a memory that will stay with them forever. So, I mean, that's it's one of the nicest things in. My understanding is a lot of women saw this, and the one question they all had is he single? Yeah, lady, ladies, you all have a shot at Duncan Keith. That's also what he's going to make himself available for all the tens of thousands of women who want to go on a date with him. He'll be booked pretty solid for the next few years. But that is just a wonderful thing that he did, and for that, he becomes an anti-D-bag of the day, along with, now, are you a Captain America fan? The movies?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you know that it's Chris Evans who plays it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you a Chris Pratt fan?
Of course.
Chris Pratt. Okay, he did Guardians. He was a Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were you a fan of his before that?
Yeah. Andy Dwyer. His character name on Parks and Recreation.
And he looks nothing now it's like Andy Dwyer.
Yeah.
Because he lost, what, like 50 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I saw Guardians of the Galaxy. By the way, 651-989-9105 if you want to weigh in on any of this. Guardians of the Galaxy, I loved it because it was just fun. But he had one scene where it became gratuitous. There was no need for him to take his shirt off. But he wanted to take the shirt off to show how buff he's become.
Yeah.
Because he was a little doughy on Parks and Recreation.
Don't blame him.
So anyway, it was pretty good. But I digress. Captain America, Chris Evans, and Chris Pratt from Guardians of the Galaxy and Parks and Recreation, they had a Super Bowl bet, and Pratt lost the bet. He lost the bet to Evans, and basically the bet was to visit a children's hospital dressed as Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy, and Evans agreed to do the same thing as as Captain America. So they both visited Seattle Children's Hospital this past Saturday, and Evans wore his Captain America costume, and it just, it was a nice thing to do. I mean, these kids, they're in the room with one kid who's wearing, the kid is wearing a Captain America t-shirt, and, you know, they're all mugging for the camera, making, you know, the kid's got his hands up in the air like he's showing how strong he is and showing his muscles. And it's just a really neat thing that these guys, that they didn't have to do this. They could have had a bet for beers
mm-hmm.
or for, you know, something, a Maserati. I don't know. These guys probably making good money, anything they wanted to.
Yeah.
But they chose to make this kid's life a little bit happier and these kids' lives a little happier. And I just think that's a really good thing to do. And they're showing a picture with, and it doesn't say what his illness is, but Pratt is holding a sign that says, have a super transplant. So obviously the kid's going to be dealing with some tough times if he's having some sort of a transplant. So it's just a good all-around thing. Now there's plenty of I'm going to, you know what, when we do anti-D-bag, there's no anti-D-bag winner. We just talk about that and we, you know, there's no winner with anti. If you're an anti-D-bag, you're an anti-D-bag.
Well, they're all winners.
That's exactly the way to put it. Then there's the flip side. Now, I'm not even saying that he's a D-bag, but some people, bad things come to them. And Chris Johnson, you know what happened to him?
Yeah.
He had shooters. Basically, he's in a Jeep. He's in Orlando. And all of a sudden, there's like a drive-by at his Jeep. And somebody in his van, they haven't identified who it was, but somebody was killed in his Jeep. And the authorities are trying to find out what the heck happened here. If they were going to go after going after him or someone else. And as the police report, which is it's interesting, according to the report, the police report, Chris was, quote, uncooperative and would only state that he saw, quote, within the quotes, a car roll by and they shot. How could you be involved in a drive-by shooting where you're the victim or you're the one being shot at? Somebody with you dies and you're uncooperative with police?
It could just be in shock of the whole thing even happening.
No, I don't think that's the case at all. People aren't, and when it's something like that, you want to tell everything you possibly can. But the problem is, and we don't know what happened, but it makes you wonder, well, who's he protecting now, or is he afraid of something? Was it random? It raises so many more questions. And he was riding in the front seat when an unknown driver pulled up at a stoplight and opened fire. He got shot in the shoulder, Chris Johnson did. The driver was declared dead on the scene with a gunshot wound to the head. And there was another passenger with him. This guy was a guy named Reggie Johnson, the other passenger. He was shot twice in his right leg. And there were at least four shots. You would think there were more than four shots unless one of the bullets... I mean, it could have been the bullet that hit the driver, then went right through the guy and hit him in the shoulder. Mm-hmm. But people that were neighbors near the crime scene said they heard at least four shots. And, man, it's a large hand. Who knows what that is? It could be a .45. I mean, that would make a little boom.
Yeah.
But, again, you're not gonna be cooperative? That one baffles me. I don't understand why you would not be cooperative with police when it comes to something like that. And we don't talk a lot about MMA, by the way, but if you'd like to, 651-989-9105. By the way, later today, we're going to close the show with a baseball's coming up, obviously. You know, they're already playing games in spring training, a little baseball trivia, and we've got some great, great prizes, including tickets for WCHA hockey, and we have several other things we'll be giving away. But MMA and boxing. Ronda Rousey, you know who she is, right?
Yep.
She's like the queen of MMA.
She would beat me up.
And she would kick your ass.
No problem.
What's that movie she was in? Find out. You know what I'm talking about? It was a movie where her job was to kick ass in the movie, too. Anyway, as you're looking that up, Leila Ali, you remember that name? Muhammad Ali's daughter. She was 24-0 in her boxing career.
Yep.
She claims that it wouldn't go well for MMA superstar Ronda Rousey, were they to hook it up in the ring. She's 37. Ronda Rousey's got to be, 25, 26 tops? And she says she has the size advantage over Rousey. She's 5'10", Leila Ali, and Rousey's 5'7". And this is what Leila said. She's like the size of my daughter, my three-year-old. A little cocky. I got a feeling... If you were betting on this, who'd you put your dough on? I'm going Ronda.
Yeah, definitely going Ronda.
I'll tell you what, one roundhouse kick to the head, and I don't care who your dad is and who you were, you're going down.
It was last weekend, I believe, that 14-second fight. She just came in.
That's all it lasted.
Yeah.
Yeah, things don't go well when you go in a ring with her. Now, what was the movie she was in?
She was in Expendables 3.
That's right. I saw. You know, a lot of people hate those movies. I really like them. They're just fun.
Well, you don't need to really delve into the plot or anything.
No, there's no. You
just
pick it
sit
up,
back and relax.
If it's usually it doesn't go 2 hours. But you know, if it's a 90-minute movie, any one of the 90 minutes, you jump in, you're already into the plot. You got it.
Mm-hmm.
There's bad guys. There's the Expendables.
And
usually
a lot
one
of explosions.
The one of the Expendables turns on them, then they turn back. It was Dolph Lundgren in the first one, And the second one, actually, they had a great, Jean-Claude Van Damme was a great villain in the second one, and Mel Gibson was the villain in this last one. So it actually wasn't too bad. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that. I'm not sure I'm going to enjoy this. We're going to take a quick break and then talk to Tom Schreier, who broke my chair. Now we're going to talk to him about the Wild. He was at the state hockey tournament, right?
Yeah.
Talk to him about that.
Unless he lied to me.
Well, he's a known pathological liar.
Could be pulling a prank. Right now he's in Florida going...
He's laughing things up. Laugh, funny man, laugh. Well, coming back, we will come back and we will talk with Tom Schreier upon our return. And we'll talk to Chris Thomason. We've got Jim Suhan coming up from the Star Tribune at SuhanUnfiltered.com. Got that trivia contest, a little Monday meltdown. We got plenty of things for you. A little Monday meltdown. And but for now, at the moment, we'll talk to Laugher, Laugh Man, Tom Schreier, talking about some hockey. Talking about some football, too. We'll be right back. I don't think he deserves walk-up, talk-up music this good.
So you like this one? I just imagine that's what he drives, a pink Cadillac.
That's probably true.
If he's down in Florida.
But he's not worthy of this.
We'll see.
Give him something from some one-hit wonder. On the flip side. We are joined by Tom Schreier, 105theticket.com. You can read his stuff there. Catch him on Sunday mornings on the wake-up call. Tom, what are you doing in Florida?
I am out here on a family vacation, maybe catching a little spring training as well.
Oh, a little work and play deal.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good job. I'm here. My lad's in the studio, so he's still with you. But, yeah, it's a good deal.
That's good. I'm blaming you, by the way, for I thought my chair was broken. Somebody mixed up the chairs, and I figured it had to be you. So
yeah, it's probably not Hallett. Hallett's too small to break a chair, and it's probably not Sam. Sam's too professional. So by process of elimination,
that's right. You put your ample ass in the chair in Kapawi. Now, tell me, how many chairs did you break this weekend? You were at the state hockey tournament, right?
Yeah, I was there. I did do some standing around just because I didn't want to get kicked out of the Exxon Energy Center. It was a great event, and like everyone else, it's hard to find a seat. There was, you know, everyone pretty much from all over Minnesota was there. All the different
papers. Broke records with this tournament for attendance.
Yeah, we were trying to calculate it. I think it's like 18,300 can sit down in that facility, and I think there was like 21,600. I can't remember the exact number, but it was something like that. So like 3,000 plus were standing around for that second game, and it was 19,000 for the last one. We kind of went back and forth, and I know people got mad. I know Nick came out and said the final sucked and stuff. I wasn't that strong on it, but I would have rather seen Dinah, just because I think I would have been, you know, blown away by how many people would have been there for the final there. But Duluth East was kind of a fun team, you know, a little bit of a Cinderella story, and unfortunately knocked off St. Thomas, which is the school I graduated from in 2008. But Mike Randolph is a genius. He's great with the tactics. He's good with the kids. He must have gotten them to believe, even though they're down 5-2. And at the end of the day, Lakeville North, I mean, my friend, who I do a hockey podcast with is from Bloomington Jefferson, grew up kind of in that, you know, era. I mean, he was very young, but the era that Bloomington Jefferson was so good. And, I walked through, you know, big and seen all those pictures of those great teams. And I mean, for a team, like Lakeville North to be in the discussion with a team, I think those Jefferson kids or Jefferson team sent like two lines to Division One, and obviously Lakeville North is sending a lot of kids there too. So it was a spectacular event. It's kind of crazy. I don't know how to describe it to people outside of Minnesota, but it's something special when you get that much like college and NHL talent, let alone kind of the fan bases those guys brought. And even in Class A, I mean, my meet, I literally almost filled the entire ring down below. So it was super special. It was tons of fun and got to meet a whole bunch of different people from whole different places all over Minnesota. So it was definitely spectacular.
Now let me test your if you paid attention while you were there. How many teams in Minnesota high school hockey history have finished the season with a perfect record?
Oh, my gosh.
What number are the 31-0 Panthers, by the way? That might be the most wins a team has had, by the way.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who else. I feel like Roseau in 2008 almost got there and then lost to Hill Murray.
Actually, I think Roseau might have been the last team to. No. I think it goes farther back than that. I think you're right about that. But I'm not going to have you be guessing throughout the show here. Eight teams, they become the eighth team
really?
To do it. And the other I mean, the great story here, too, is a 4-1 win over Duluth East by undefeated and 31-0 Lakeville North. All three of the brothers had goals, right?
Yeah, the Palings are something special. I have a friend who goes
Jack
to
Ryan and Nick.
Yeah, and they're all headed to St. Cloud State. I was telling him, you know, for the U of M, the only unfortunate things for fans, you know, of that school is that most of those kids are actually in junior by the time that they're kind of committed. The cool thing about St. Cloud State is, they can see their talent right there at that tournament. And there's something special about those kids. I think, you know, I've seen them play a couple times. My friend's seen them play a ton. And he pointed this out. They literally know where each other are on the ice at all times. And obviously teammates develop that. But, you know, you could tell they were throwing passes that I was kind of like, where's that going? And then the other brother skated around and got it. And it's kind of a fun thing with that and the hockey hair and obviously the heritage of all these schools and programs like Edina, that there's so much going on there that I think if you spend the time to kind of sit down and look at it, it's amazing. It was such a cool event, and it's cool that the state of Minnesota has something like this, to be honest, to take pride in.
Now, Jack and Nick are they're the twins, and they're going to they'll be there next year, right?
I believe those guys are seniors, and then Ryan, the youngest one,
I think he's a sophomore.
Yeah, he's a sophomore, and I think he's actually the best player. But I think all three are committed to St. Cloud State, and among other, I mean, I can't rattle them off the top of my head, but St. Cloud's really done a good job kind of scouring the ranks of these high school hockey players. And like I said, even, there were special players committed all over. Jake Jaremko, who wasn't even in the tournament, and I think was named Mr. Hockey, he's headed to Mankato, and I believe Casey Middlestat was actually committed to the University of Minnesota as like an eighth grader, as a freshman. And if you were watching the Eden Prairie game, I mean, he skated around everybody. He made them look like amateurs. And this is a sophomore player playing against some of the best players really in the world. I mean, the best kids, 17, 18 years old. So there's just, a lot to like, even for a team like Bemidji, who I feel like this is the first time since like 1986 or something like that, that a team, from Section 8 other than the Big Two made it in. And they obviously looked overwhelmed once they got to the tournament, but it was fun. I mean, it's fun to see a new team in there. And other than that, I mean, outside of maybe Moorhead and Elk River, you got the best teams in the state to go at it at this tournament. So, I mean, really, it was probably it was the perfect pool for Class A. And even in AA, those top, teams, your East Grand Forks, Mount Emeet, I really represented. And Hermantown, I mean, you can't help but feel bad for them. That's a team that's six straight times since they won in 2007. They come in second place, and I think Bruce Plant's, his head was about to explode after the team ties it up and then loses it in overtime. It was really, really a lot going on there.
Well, for years he has said that when he was losing to St. Thomas Academy, which moved up to AA, that he had the best public high school team in Class A in the state. Now he can say he has the best public high school team in the state that doesn't have a compass direction in their name.
Yeah, we were joking that he could say, hey, I have the best high school team in Hermantown. But I think, the thing with that, and I know he, obviously I was in high school when he was saying St. Thomas should move up. And honestly, it was hard when I was in high school to really have perspective. When I look back, I'm really glad St. Thomas moved up. It's a lot more fun. There's a lot better games. And, for teams like Mount Emeet, which would have a natural rivalry with your, White Bears and stuff like that, Hill Murray, I mean, maybe there's a consideration. East Grand Forks is just always so good. And, them moving to Section 8 would be fun. Now, these sections all got moved around, and rightfully so. I mean, basically 1, 2, 3 were one, well into the season. We knew Edina was going to represent 2, Lakeville North 1, and St. Thomas was probably going to represent 3. So I understand why they did it, but looking at the landscape, some of those teams, it might just be smart for them that you have better games. And the other thing, too, is if you're going to convince a kid, I know there's all this controversy over juniors and they hate the Canadian teams that come. I know a Canadian scout who does the Spokane team, and he's like, yeah, they hate seeing us in their building because they think we're going to come and snatch away their kids. And then, the USHL with the kids leaving at, 16, 17. If you really want those kids to stay, one of the best things you can do is put them in AA and say, hey, you can compete against the big schools and look at how much talent Lakeville North, Edina, St. Thomas, Hill Murray, on and on and on. Even Wayzata wasn't very good this year, but they're usually pretty talented. Minnetonka, Benilde St. Margaret's, if you say, hey, we'll compete against those teams on a frequent basis, that's actually a way to keep your kids, in through those 4 years, because then you have these senior-laden teams that are very experienced, very talented, and those are obviously the ones that tend to win championships like Lakeville North did.
Well, in this year, you had Eden Prairie they also were in the tournament, right?
Yeah, Eden Prairie won in 2011, I think.
I'm talking about this year. Weren't they in the tournament?
Oh, yeah, Eden Prairie was in the tournament and lost to Lakeville North.
Yeah, I knew they were. It's a rhetorical question. My question is, though, how do you keep Eden Prairie and Edina in different sections when they border each other? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's because they're trying to separate. Basically, what they tried to do is make sections so that they can be sure certain teams would win or give them a better opportunity to win. Now, Eden Prairie probably came out of one of the toughest sections.
Yeah. Section 6, and I'm trying to think of what the toughest sections are, but Section 6 is one of the toughest ones. I know that they split that one up, and I think that they're trying to – this is in an effort because, like, Bloomington now – I'm trying to – Danny rattled it off yesterday, and I couldn't remember off the top of my head where they all went. But Bloomington-Jefferson, for example, now is not really geographically placed, but I think it's based off of – I mean, it's kind of like college football, actually, or college sports, where they kind of – Maryland and, you know, Rutgers should not be in the Big Ten. But from a, you know, financial standpoint, I think, you know, with high school hockey, it's more – yeah, we're trying to even out the playing field a little bit, make those section tournaments a little more fun. And for a team in Section 6, I mean, Minnetonka maybe, you know, should have belonged there. Section 6 was really messed up this year, but, you know, Minnetonka maybe belongs there. And even Vanilla St. Margaret's, I thought, was a really, really good team. And, again, you could tell how frustrated they were that they didn't advance, obviously, because those kids all got in a fight. Yep. But, you know, it's a crazy thing. A lot of politics in that sport, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, Tom, the time just flies. We had hoped to talk to you about the Wild and the Vikings and the Twins, but you just kept rambling on about the high school hockey. Didn't give me even a chance to interrupt and say, let's move on. You love that high school hockey.
Yeah, no, it's been fun.
It's a great tournament. There's nothing else like it anywhere. The state high school hockey tournament's a wonderful thing, and congratulations again to Lakeville North and East Grand Forks, and double A for Lakeville North and a single A and for East Grand Forks. And you know what? Congratulations to Hermantown for making it 6 years in a row. Even though they didn't win, that's a record the Vikings couldn't touch. You know, six in a row. My goodness. But you know what? To get to the finals, you got to have talent, and they certainly do. Tom, enjoy your vacation. As we tell Jack Jablonski when we talk to him, make sure you put enough zinc oxide on your nose. You don't want to peel.
No, I'll be back, and I'll be looking good once I'm in studio again.
Listen to him. He's cocky. All right. I can't tell what's real and what isn't when this guy laughs. All right, Tom, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break, and when we return, we will be joined by Chris Thomason, covers the Vikings for the Pioneer Press. And he'll give us the latest on what's going on with the Vikings. We know a few things, but he's going to tell us about all things. All things Vikings with Chris Thomason. Be right back.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
You give Tom Schreier Springsteen.
Yeah.
This is the best you can do for Chris Thomason for his walk-up talk?
There's nothing wrong with CCR.
No, but he may like, let's find out. Chris Thomason, how are you?
Is this the second straight time I've opened with CCR? I think we discussed it before, how I saw Fogarty in 2004, yes. And he looked the same as he had 30 years earlier.
He gave our previous guest a little Springsteen. I thought maybe he should mix it up for you, but he likes to give you CCR, so.
No, that's fine. That's no problem at all.
But, well, good. I'm glad you're okay with it.
Hey, we keep talking about the same things over and over again about Adrian Peterson, so why not the same music over and over again?
Well, we're not. Actually, we're going to make this, for the most part, an AP-free zone, unless you have big news on AP.
No. I'm quite content to take an AP day off.
All right. Then let's talk about the two guys that you had today that they were re-signing, Tom Johnson and Cullen Leffler. Both of them, you know, Leffler is a good, because you don't, when you have a good long snapper, you just say, okay, we don't have to worry about that. We're done there. So that's a good thing for them. And
go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say Tom Johnson, I mean, he's been a solid player for him. Not a star, but he's given him, you know, he gave him, what, 6.5 sacks. That's not too shabby either.
Yeah, the Tom Johnson signing, they're very enthusiastic about him. They love the job that he came in on a low-level contract and did. But thing is, you know, what a guy does well, you got to pay him. And they stepped up to the plate there. As far as Cullen Loeffler, I know you hyped him, but he had an off year. I mean, I was looking at the Pro Football Focus rankings, and he had by far the lowest ranking of any Viking special teams member, and obviously he had that bad snap against the Dolphins, and I thought it was interesting he only got a one-year deal. I mean, he is 34 now, but last time when he re-upped, he did it during the fall of 2011 and got three extra years. So I would say the one-year deal for Loeffler is not exactly a ringing endorsement of confidence.
I'm trying to think back, and you certainly, you know, you have a better recollection on it than I do. How many bad snaps did he have? But did he have many more? I don't recall any others.
That was his only disastrous play, I guess. But, you know, I'm not sure how Pro Football Focus does its special teams rankings. They take things into consideration, obviously, you know, punt coverage and all that kind of stuff, blocking or what have you. But, you know, yeah, I mean, nobody singled him out necessarily for any blocked kicks or anything that I'm aware of, unlike Jamarcus Webb, who was singled out for a blocked kick and was gone the next day. So, we'll have to see. I mean, it's hard to find long snappers, obviously, and unless you have somebody in mind to replace a long snapper with, I don't think you're going to go, you know, not have one on your roster. You know, just ask the New York Giants from the 2002 playoffs against San Francisco.
Now, what about you speaking of San Francisco, Mike Iopati, is that look like it's going to happen, or has it happened?
I think a stronger possibility is Clint Bowling. I wrote a story earlier today. I talked to Clint Bowling's trainer. The Vikings are making a push on him. He's the Cincinnati left tackle, and his trainer said that Bowling has a lot of interest in the Vikings. He's intrigued by the fact that Mike Zimmer is the coach. He obviously was with Zimmer for 3 years in Cincinnati. I mean, Zimmer was on the defense and Bowling was on the offense. But, you know, his trainer ultimately said it's probably going to come down to who gives the most upfront money. So I think if the Vikings are willing to pony up, he might be a guy they can land to take over at left.
No, I'm sorry, you say a left guard or left tackle?
Left guard.
Okay. And every scenario still comes back to not making a move at left guard. We're keeping Khalil there, right? Left tackle. Yeah.
Yeah, I think at this point they haven't given up on him. And you know as well as I do, I mean, I don't know if there's really no left tackles even on the free agency market. I mean, you get a left tackle who's good, you pay him and you hang on to him. So it's not like there's any real alternative out there at this stage. I mean, maybe they could take somebody in the draft, possibly, you know, the kid from Iowa, Brandon Scherff, or something like that. He can play tackle and guard, but in free agency, I don't see them picking up any left tackles.
But you also don't see a scenario. They would not bring in Iopati and their left tackle, the guy from the Bengals.
Well, Iupati, they've inquired about him, which I wrote about yesterday. He would probably command more money, and he is probably more likely to stay with his existing team than Bowling.
Clint Bowling.
Iupati is not ranked as high as Bowling, but Bowling is said to be pretty good, and he's obviously got the tie-in of knowing Mike Zimmer.
And that's a big plus. I talked to young David over here, our Hellboy, about that. And I would think that, I think last year, Zimmer probably wanted to shy away from going after Bengals just out of respect of having just left there and not trying to raid them. I think it'll be different this year. If there's somebody he wants and they're available, I don't think it's going to be an issue.
Yeah, I would agree. And, I mean, he's got a year under his belt. He's more proven. He probably has more of a say, you know, like, hey, this guy is really good. We want this guy. He probably has even more of a say than a year ago at this time. So I would agree with what you say.
Now, I saw a story today where six or seven of the top free agents are expected to sign with their teams. Is Bowling in that the top group, or is he out of the top 10? Because there's a lot of interest in the guy, and there's a lot of respect for him, as you had mentioned, but I don't know, is he one of the top 10 free agents available?
Well, I don't know if he's in the top 10 overall, but he's, you know, a strong free agent. the Bengals certainly want to keep him. I know Atlanta and the New York Jets are also in the mix for him among a lot of teams. But, you know, the Bengals historically have not been known for opening the vault for players, you know, small market type team. And it goes back to the days of the Brown family has been known kind of for their cheapness. So, you know, I don't know personally how much they're planning to offer Bowling, but, they want to keep them, but we'll have to see if it's enough, I guess.
Yep. Now, what do you think they're going to do? And beyond what we're talking about with a guy like Bowling, what positions do you think they're going to address in free agency? And what is the most likely position or positions they'll save for the draft?
They definitely will pick up a defensive end in free agency. Corey Wooten didn't work out. I mean, he was a guy who was expected to maybe even provide some pressure on Brian Robinson to start, but he really wasn't even a capable reserve last year. So they need a defense. Scott Crichton's not ready yet. They need a defensive end. They've, looked at a couple of guys there so far, Adrian Claiborne and George Selvey they inquired about. They need a cornerback. I just put up a story that they inquired about Bradley Fletcher, a cornerback from Philadelphia, although he's kind of a later type guy. I mean, they signed Kurt Coleman late in free agency last year. So, you know, Fletcher started, but he had a decent year in 2013. Didn't look that good last year. Doesn't look like they're going to break the bank on cornerback. They haven't inquired about Devon House and Tremon Williams, a couple of the studs from the Packers. So I don't think they're going to spend a lot of money on cornerback, but I would expect them to pick one up, later in the free agency process.
Chris, talking to Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. What is the cap number they have to work with? I mean, how much do they have under the cap?
Theirs is 149, and they've got about 23 or so.
Do they have some dough?
Yeah, they've got some money. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with Peterson. If he were to get traded, that's another 15 right there. Chad Greenway is probably going to get renegotiated, so that's at least a savings of a couple million there. There's rumors going around about maybe Greg Jennings gets renegotiated. I haven't been able to, ascertain if that could happen, but if that did, that'd be a couple more million. So, yeah, they've got money. Rick Spielman has said they're not going to spend a ton of money on one free agent unless something unique happens, but of a guy like Bowling to shore up that offensive line, they want to protect their investment in Teddy Bridgewater for years to come. I think he would be something unique if he wanted to come to Minnesota.
Now, what about the wide receiver position? Do you think they'll wait for the draft? Because I can't imagine. Cooper probably will be gone, and Kevin White probably will be gone, but that would leave Devontae Parker, who caught passes from Teddy Bridgewater, potentially, I don't think he's going to be gone in the top 10.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, rather than spend a bunch of money on a wide receiver, you might even be able to get a guy with your number 11 pick who could turn out to be better than any of these free agency candidates. I would be stunned if all three of those receivers you mentioned are gone in the top 10. But, Rick Spielman's used to trading, and if he's a little nervous, you could always trade up a notch or two. If they like all three of those receivers and are willing to take any of them, I could see that scenario much more over free agency.
And, the guy that keeps sticking out in my mind, and you're the one who brought him to our attention, we talked about him, the Shaq Thompson, the hybrid linebacker safety, that seems like a Zimmer guy all the way. So that's why I wonder if somebody like him, is it too early to take him with the 11th pick, or is he a guy that, how long can you wait for a guy like that?
Well, I'll say a couple things on that. Obviously, there's plenty of draft evaluators who are better evaluating talent than I am. They have Shaq Thompson more as a later first-round pick, the Vikings, as you well know, they've traded down. They've traded, a second pick into the first round. They've done all the sorts of different things. And also keep in mind, some people were projecting Anthony Barr to go maybe in the range of around 20 or so. And then everybody was surprised at where he went last year at number 9. And obviously that turned out to be a good pick. So you know, it's really too early at this stage, and obviously all these prognosticators, you know, aren't always right, as you know.
And, yeah, you're absolutely right about that one. But he does seem to fit what they like, but beyond the, you know, the attractiveness of a story of Teddy Bridgewater being reunited, and actually two of the three top receivers, it would be a reunion because Amari Cooper was his teammate in high school. If they got one of those two, there would be a reunion of sorts. But beyond that, both of these guys can play in a big-time level. I certainly give the appearance that they could be big-time receivers.
Also part of it depends on what they think about Cordarrelle Patterson. Do they really believe that he can develop, or are they just kind of saying that's the PR line? So obviously if they draft a stud receiver, that would not be good news for Mr. Patterson, since they already love Carl Johnson, and looks like he's definitely be one of their starters next year.
You know what though, Chris? I think that if Cordarrelle Patterson develops, it's a bonus. I wouldn't count on him, not after last year. But Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press, check out his stuff on TwinCities.com. He will give you the latest on the Vikings, because you probably got to knock out another one when you get off with us.
Yeah, I got something coming.
All right, we'll keep an eye out for it, Chris. Thanks so much for the time.
Okay.
We'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
We're going to come right back. Little threesome at 3 when we return.
Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.